Scotch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We're going to be talking this week about Argo, which is Ben Affleck's new international thriller.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Here Comes the Boom with Kevin James and Seven Psychopaths and Sinister, of course, for the horror movie buff.
It's October.
That's right. And DVDs and Blu-rays, so we got more stuff of that to talk about. But, you know, it is Halloween still. We're coming up to Halloween.
Is it?
I bought my Bane mask.
Did you?
So I can be Bane who let himself go.
Nice.
That's going to be my Halloween costume. It'll be fun.
And now last week we talked about my kid's Halloween costume.
Yes.
So tell me about your kids, because your kids always do something big.
Well, they love doing the Halloween costume. My youngest, he wants to be a pink kitty cat. He's 4, and I know that sounds a little girly.
But he's so cute.
He's so adorable. He wants to be a pink kitty cat because he has a pink kitty cat, which is a toy.
Uh-huh.
He has a bear that he sleeps with, and it's named Bear.
Bear.
Of course, because why
right.
not? And
I've met Bear.
You've met Bear?
I have.
Not doing too well. He's losing his hair.
Poor Bear losing his hair.
He's been through 3 boys. But he's also got a little kitty cat, a little pink kitty cat that we bought during the Bondathon when we did the James Bond
right.
movies. Of course, because we all needed the cat to stroke and be like,
nice.
Be like Ernst Stravo Blofeld. And my other son, Ben, who mm-hmm. is, well, he's 9 this year.
Do you remember how
yeah,
old he is?
You'll get to that point.
You know, yeah. How old are you again?
I'm lucky
What's
if I know
your
how
name?
Old I am.
I don't know how old I am.
But Ben was Jason Voorhees last year because I got this mask that they sent me as swag for when they
Right. Yep, I remember that.
Friday the 13th. And so he had the mask on, and it fits him because it's a kid's mask. It mm-hmm. doesn't fit me. I look like a tick that
nice.
Like ate too much, or like I expanded like a piece of rice that was wearing the Jason mask, and then I got cooked. But he, instead of being Jason, he doesn't want to just be Jason. He's doing the mashup. So he wants to be Jason the Magician. So he's going to, like, have a magician's outfit.
Clever.
And the mask. He's going to make young campers disappear.
It's much less violent that
yeah.
way. If you can just make them disappear.
Why not?
Magic words.
Ta-da! He also, well, his brother, Liam, who's mm-hmm. the oldest, he's going to be the party rock robot.
Nice.
And this is, I mean, how fads go in music. I mean, the people was LAFMO or whatever. LAMO?
LMFAO.
Is that the band that does it?
EIEIO?
Yes.
LMNOP.
They're broken up now. They're the Middle Vanilli now. They are no longer.
Oh.
So their song has outlived them, and it's pretty much, well, it's a two-hit wonder because they did I'm Sexy and I Know It.
Right.
Which is, of course, my theme song.
It's true.
Yeah.
You sing it all the time, too. You know, it's really too bad that we don't get it on the air.
I should.
Because, you know, you sing so much.
Well, it's royalties. But we made a cardboard box and we have glowy eyes. Have you
nice.
Seen the pictures of him? Because he did that for the sci-fi marathon we went
no.
to.
No. No, I didn't see
and
that.
And he won first prize. So
good for him.
So, and I also got the party rock anthem. I put on my iPod, so he's going to walk around. He's going to be playing
nice.
All the time when he's trick-or-treating. So, and I'll be Bane, who let himself go. And Liam, when we go to the horror marathon next week,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be the mother from Dead Alive.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
It's a zombie movie.
Uh-huh.
And he is going to be the mother who turns into a zombie after being bitten by a spider monkey who is infected.
Spider monkey. You got to watch out yeah. for those spider monkeys.
They're kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It takes place in New Zealand, so I think we're safe.
You never know.
Unless they import them.
I mean, I've seen Madagascar. Animals can travel.
That's true. By train or whatever.
Or boat.
Anyways, we're here with Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. You can get a hold of us if you want to talk to us. You can reach us by email, which is, of course, the cool way to do it. Well, I guess you could text us, but...
Nah.
Well, that's the cool way to do it. But you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. And you can reach us online at fatguysatthemovies.com and check out other things we have, like bonus content and that sort of thing. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM for Fat Guys at the Movies. And you can like our page because we're narcissists. We need you to like us.
It's true. And we have low self-esteem. Please like us.
Please like us. You know, we're going to end up with one of those Hulk Hogan tapes
hmm.
if you don't. Anyways, you can also reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr. And you're not on Twitter, but
nope.
You can reach you...
Nightsandweekends.com.
Woo-hoo.
Or realdiscovery.org. And you can find me on Facebook, too.
Or you can just...
You so desire.
Stalk her. Come find her at her house.
It happens.
You know?
That, you know.
Yeah, you gotta
survive. It wouldn't be the first time.
Anyways, that's why I have a restraining order against me. We don't talk about it that much. Anyways. Here we are at Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Our first movie we're going to talk about today is Sinister, because, you know, it's Halloween. We're going to talk about the scary movie.
Yep.
And in this movie, a man discovers evidence of a serial killer who targets families where he lives.
You think these are serial murders?
I don't know. First one I found dates back to the 60s. The only link between all these cases is the symbol.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of human children. Early Christians believed that Bagul actually lived in the images themselves and that they were gateways into his realm.
You didn't get a chance to see this because you had a conflicting.
Didn't, yes.
So, are you looking forward to it? Do you like? Well, you said you like scary movies.
I like scary movies, but I don't have anyone to watch them with.
Okay. Did you see last year Insidious? Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you like Insidious?
Loved Insidious.
That is about what I feel about Sinister. I think it reminded me a lot of Insidious in terms of it takes place in this house and it's very central to the house. It's sort of a new genre of horror, because we had torture porn and you had J horror and you had found footage, and torture porn and J horror have kind of gone away.
Which is good.
Yeah, because, you know, torture porn was just, there wasn't much to it.
I won't miss that.
Yeah, and then J horror was all innovative when it first came out, with like The Ring and The Grudge.
Mm.
And then people realized it's like, oh, yeah, it still is just all the same.
Yep.
It's just it looked different to us Americans when they started bringing it overseas. But the found footage is still around, unfortunately. I'm not a big fan of found footage.
No, no.
But this one does incorporate found footage into it, but it's not a found footage movie.
Okay.
Because he finds a Super 8, this box of Super 8 reels.
And oh, right.
They have people getting murdered on it, and he's sort of investigating, and he's a writer, played by Ethan Hawke. But it has that feel of, it feels like it's a new genre that's developing. And Insidious was like this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Paranormal Activity is kind of like the found footage version of this.
Okay.
Because it's the haunted house. It deals with demons. It deals with kids and that sort of thing. And in a way, that makes it feel very much like a throwback to the 70s. If you recall movies like, you know, you had The Omen and you had The Changeling
right.
and you had...
Right. Yep.
70s, early 80s, you had
the good.
Crazy, crazy demonic children. And this one deals with demons and it deals with ghosts. But what's neat about it is, you know the demon element's there because if you see the trailer and it's kind of telegraphed in a lot of ways in the advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny is they kind of hold their cards back. It's not like from the get-go they're not suddenly being like, demon, hello, you got a demon here. No, they take the time to go through the story.
Okay.
And then when they say it's, you know, when they finally go down the supernatural path, you're like, oh, this is where it's going to get interesting, and they do some cool things.
See, now, the fact that Ethan Hawke is in that one, it kind of threw me off. But at the same time, it kind of gives it a little bit of cred.
Well, you know what's funny
in
is
my mind.
Ethan Hawke, and it was pointed out by Nick Haram, who, of course, you know, we work with, and he's been on the show before. He said Ethan Hawke's kind of one of those odd actors who just does something because he wants to, seems like. He's like, well, I'm going to do a vampire movie.
I've seen him in some pretty bizarre movies.
Yeah, and it's not, his stuff's not good.
And like random French movies.
Yeah.
Oh, the Woman in the Fifth.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
No,
but didn't he
good.
Do all the Before Sunrise, After Sunrise, Eating My Breakfast After the Sun
yes,
Comes Up movies?
Yes, right.
Yeah, so he has a range of things, and it seems like he just does something because he's like, well, that looks interesting.
Yeah.
And some of them are crap. But this
yes.
one's kind of fun. I'm not a big fan of Ethan Hawke, but I like the fact that, you know, he's not like Nicolas Cage, where if Nicolas Cage shows up in a movie, you pretty much know what's going to happen.
Do not rip on Nicolas Cage, man.
Well, Nicolas Cage is awesome.
Okay, okay. And, now that we've gotten that straight.
As he says on Saturday Night Live, he's like, well, in the movie, you know it's a Nicolas Cage movie, so I'm going to be on fire, and I'm going to
That's
yell.
That's awesome.
He's going to yell half his lines. Or talk him really softly. He'll talk like this. But Ethan Hawke does a good job, and it's a scary movie. It's Sinister works. I mean, it's not going to like make you lose sleep unless you're like five and you're stupid and your parents have taken you to the movie.
Really?
I wouldn't take a little kid to this.
No?
But it's not terrifying. It's not redefining horror, but I think it's got a good shot at doing some things to the genre. Anyways, we got to go. That one's a rocks. Next, we're going to talk about Argo and Here Comes the Boom. Welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We are now going to be talking about Argo, which is Ben Affleck's new movie, in which it's a true story of a fake movie being used as a cover to extract Americans from Iran in 1980.
What happened?
Six of the hostages went out a back exit.
Where are they?
The Canadian ambassador's house.
We've got Revolutionary Guards going door to door.
These people die. They died badly.
White House?
Who wants the six of them out?
I got an idea.
They're a Canadian film crew for a science fiction movie.
I fly into Tehran. We all fly out together as a film crew.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir. By far.
What did you think?
Well, you know, everybody talked about the last couple of movies that Ben Affleck made.
Yeah.
You know, they were in Boston.
Directed.
Or yes.
That he directed.
Right. And, you know, the Boston movies. And Ben Affleck, he does Boston.
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, can he make a movie that's not in Boston?
He goes as far away from Boston.
Yeah. You don't get a lot farther away from Boston.
The next movie's going to be on the moon.
I can see that. But, you know, I think he's answered the question.
Yeah.
Can Ben Affleck make a movie outside Boston? Yes, he can. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And, you know, not only is this a good movie, mm-hmm. I'd say it's his best so far.
Yeah. I liked Gone Baby Gone, and I liked The Town. But they were very dour and very heavy and mm-hmm. very much still trying to do that love letter to Boston. He needed to shake that off to do
it.
And in my review I wrote of Argo, I said, well, he does all this cool stuff and no one has a Boston accent in it at all.
I know.
Which was kind of cool.
They have 70s hair, though.
Well, yeah, but that's part of just being
awesome.
See,
that's pretty cool.
He does play a Mexican.
Which I did find interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when he finally said his name was Tony Mendez, I was like, not so much.
Yeah. Although, you know, I mean, you never know. Somebody, maybe his mom was Dutch or something like that.
What are you talking about, the Dutch?
I'm just saying they're not Mexican. So there you go.
Okay.
The Dutch are not Mexican. I stand by that. I stand behind that.
The Dutch are not Mexican.
But did you like it? Would you consider? I mean, people are talking award buzz here from
Netflix. Oh yeah,
Netflix.
Yeah. I'd say it's in my top of the year so far.
Yeah, it's I
definitely
agree. I think it was way up there. It's a very tense movie, and it what's neat is it opens up with the very brief history of Iran
mm-hmm.
and sort of with the Shah and what happened back then. And it does a really good job encapsulating that in like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And then they go into the attack on the embassy, which is really
chaotic.
Well, and it's also kind of disturbing to watch now with in light of what happened in Libya
mm-hmm.
about a month ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's sort of this history repeating itself because this movie was made before
mm-hmm.
last month, obviously.
Right.
And so it just seems very timely and it's a bit disturbing to watch. But I think that but the thing I found interesting is he handled this and showed that there are diplomatic and covert solutions to these things
mm-hmm.
and not just suddenly racing to war. And the way he deals with the fact that, you know, hey, this is a country and there are conflicts here and we need to tiptoe around a lot of this or it could blow up very
right,
fast.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't painting. It wasn't something like Iranians are evil and terrible. And
No. It just kind of told the story and, you know, it did show both sides. Really.
I think it did. Yeah. I thought it did a good job with that because it's so, especially in this political climate, you can get people that are like, well, they should have just stormed the embassy. They should have just bombed them, you know, and it's like, well.
Which is what some of the people in some of the interviews mm. throughout the movie said.
Absolutely.
You know?
That was always
kind of interesting.
It's always on the table.
Yeah.
So, but I'll tell you what I found neat about this movie, and that's something I said, another thing I said in my review is Ben Affleck is one of those, he has proved that he is now a triple threat and that he can write, he can direct, and he can act. And he can do it all in one movie. in a way, he's somewhat like a young Clint Eastwood that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I agree. I think he's the next Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. And the reason I bring up Eastwood is because prior to his last couple, like JFK, J. Edgar was weepy and mopey and moved too slow. I think he's getting too old as a director. But if you look at stuff like even Gran Torino and Million Dollar Baby, they're very serious movies that deal with heavy issues, but they got some fantastically hilarious moments in them.
Mm-hmm.
And
this definitely has that.
Argo is this is the way to go on this. Because there are some funny moments where it's poking fun at his own industry and not going overboard with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yeah, I love John Goodman and Alan Arkin.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually expecting a little bit more from them,
mm-hmm.
but I was okay with it the way it was.
Well, it was good to have them as the levity, and then you could go back to the pretty heavy stuff that's mm-hmm. going on Iran. So.
Yeah, and they were definitely needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
To keep things light.
Yeah, I say it rocks. What do you say?
I agree. It rocks.
Sounds good. We're talking with movies. We're talking about
movies.
Talking with movies. It's Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And we are going to move on to our next film, which is Here Comes the Boom. And this, Kevin James plays a teacher who becomes an MMA fighter to raise money to save his school.
As several of you already know, Wilkinson High School has been operating at a budget deficit.
We are cutting all extracurricular activities.
I want to fight mixed martial arts.
This is crazy. Do you even know how to do that?
No. No, I do not. But I was a really good wrestler in college. I think I can do this.
Let's see what you got.
By which guy am I fighting?
Both.
Come on, I can't fight two guys.
I can't train a 42-year-old biology teacher.
Before I go into this, because I'll be curious to what you have to say.
Yeah.
I have the best quote for Rotten Tomatoes when I put it up on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
If you don't know anything about the Rotten Tomatoes readers, they love to just lose their snot over what people say, and they go crazy.
Yes.
I did not like Sunset Boulevard, for example, and I have a bad review for Sunset Boulevard.
Seriously?
I just don't like Sunset Boulevard. I thought it was, you know. And
that makes me want to cry.
Well, people,
but it doesn't surprise me.
I don't know how many times, like, if I like something, they'll be like, well, and I'll see a commenter be like, well, no wonder he hated Sunset Boulevard, so he's an idiot. And like, people
will
remember that.
You know, you have the writing ability of a 5-year-old.
I do.
You couldn't find a coherent thought in a paper bag.
A wet paper bag. But my quote for this is superior to warrior in every way. And that is my thoughts on Here Comes the Boom. Part of it is I hated Warrior. Hated Warrior. It was one of my worst. It was on my top 10 worst movies of last year. Hated it. So it's an honest quote. It was not me gaming the system the way Armand White used to do.
Right.
But anyways, what's your thoughts?
It made me sad.
Really?
Yes.
Mm.
You know, I was trying to figure out what it's trying to do.
Mm?
You know, because if it's trying to be a comedy, it's pretty half-hearted. Mm. And, you know, it just doesn't even try to be funny. You know, and even when it's kind of trying to be funny, then, you know, I was looking at the audience, and mm-hmm. even the laughs were kind of, okay, you're trying to be funny, we'll kind of chuckle a little bit.
Did we see it in the same screening? At the rave?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. See, I thought the audience was going crazy for it. I took my kids, and they loved it. It's the second movie I've seen in, like, less than a month where somebody throws up on somebody else.
Yay!
Children.
That's true.
It's aimed at that age too. I mean, it's being pushed as a PG movie and a family movie.
Which Kevin James's movies have been that way lately, and I don't know that they necessarily should be. You know, like Zookeeper.
Yeah.
Was that necessarily a family movie? No, but there were animals in it.
They're talking animals.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, it wasn't great. But it was funnier than I thought. I thought it was funny. I thought it had some good stuff. It's more that inspirational sports movie than it is an inspirational teaching movie because you don't know which way it's going when it starts.
Well yeah. And what I was thinking, you know, I thought that the preachy movie about the educational system
mm-hmm.
was the one starring Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah.
Not the one starring Kevin James.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, this one was awfully preachy. And I'm actually waiting for you to discuss the issues with the educational system, because there was a lot of it in this movie, and I know that gets you on your soapbox. So,
you know, we got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll address that issue really quickly about the educational impact on Here Comes the Boom, and then we're also talk about Seven Psychopaths and the box office.
All right.
Oh, yeah. And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. I want to really quickly address an issue we brought up with Here Comes the Boom and sort of the educational things that are saying about education in America. The reason this didn't bother me, whereas I got completely cheesed off with Won't Back Down.
Yes, you did.
Is Won't Back Down basically makes this that says, oh, it's the teacher's fault and it's the teacher's unions and we need to get rid of them. So heck with them. This movie doesn't make that. It has a jerk principle and it has some people doing bad things. But the thing is, the premise behind it and that they have to suddenly cut this budget like midstream in school.
Yeah.
By like in 2 months or something like that.
Right.
Is such a ludicrous premise that is so not how schools work that I kind of just been like, well, I mean, they're just like, just go with us so we can have this story we're going to tell. And sure. It also doesn't pretend to be a true story.
It's true.
So that's why it didn't bother me.
So what about all the lazy teachers?
I don't think that they really, they didn't show that much in that movie.
Well, in the beginning.
Well,
he's
yeah.
lazy and apathetic and he barely even shows up on time. And, you know,
true.
He gets in his classroom and he just tells the kids to do their thing. And then, you know, he tries to get all worked up about, you know, the music teacher, which, first of all, you know, if he doesn't really care about showing up for school, why does he care about Henry Winkler?
Well, that's
there's
true.
That.
No, I hear you.
But then, you know, he tries to get everybody all, you know, all riled up about it and we've got to do something to help and nobody shows up. And he's like, nobody cares.
Well, I think it's more him saying that he wants to try and do what he can, but other people are busy. And him being sort of apathetic at the beginning, I took more as him just, you know, everybody gets to that point in their job where they're just like, I don't want to go do this. And I think that's
January.
It wasn't meaning I didn't take that. Didn't feel like the movie was saying this is the problem with our education system and we need to change this. It's just like this is the character's arc, whether you like it or not kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas Won't Back Down was saying, you know what's wrong with schools? It's not it's not crime in the city. It's not gangs. It's not, you know, absentee parents. It's not parents who don't care. It's the teachers and the unions. If we just get rid of those, it'll be so much better, which is basically what Won't Back Down said.
So. Gotcha.
You're here with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer on Fat Guys of the Movies. And we're going to move to the next movie, which is Seven Psychopaths.
Yeah, but we didn't give our grades for this one.
Oh, I say Here Comes the Boom kind of rocks.
Sucks.
Totally sucks.
Yep.
Wow. That's okay. You're entitled to be wrong.
Zing.
So let's move on to Seven Psychopaths.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh. A dog kidnapping goes wrong for a desperate L.A. screenwriter.
How's everything in the dog kidnapping business?
Did you get a new dog?
Hey, what the hell happened?
Some punks jumped us.
Oh, yeah.
Said they were looking for a little shih tzu. Then some other punk killed those punks. It's their blood. It's his puke.
You want to go to the bathroom? Clean some of the blood and the puke off you?
I almost got killed today because you kidnapped the wrong dog.
Are you being serious?
I don't know much about this movie aside that Christopher Walken's in it and Olga Korolenko's in it and probably won't get naked.
If Christopher Walken's in it, I'm in.
He could get naked.
And
he could very well be naked.
It's probably what happened, and that would be kind of scary. But it was made, directed, and written by Martin McDonagh, who also did In Bruges.
Yes.
So just that alone makes me want to see it.
Was Peter Dinklage in Bruges, or was it the
yes.
not Peter Dinklage? Are you sure? Because I thought it was...
Pretty sure it was Peter Dinklage.
I thought it was not Peter Dinklage. It was the guy who looked like Peter Dinklage?
It was not.
Well, you know how
it
like...
It was the un-Peter Dinklage?
Well, it's like how Josh Lucas is like the not Matthew McConaughey.
Hmm.
And like Dermot Mulroney is the not Dylan McDermott.
Okay.
That's kind of...
Or like Tobey Maguire is the not Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, or vice versa. Yeah.
Depending on who's better this week.
On who you're not talking... If I had $10 billion and I could just fund a movie, I would cast like Jake Gyllenhaal and Matthew McConaughey and Dylan McDermott, and then like halfway through, I would switch them with their doppelgangers. And just see if anyone noticed. That would be so cool. It would just be one joke. It's sort of like I always wanted to fund a movie. They do a Shakespeare play, like do Hamlet, and just cast the worst actors ever. Like get Steven Seagal to play Hamlet.
Awesome.
And convince him that he's good. Like be like, oh, no, you really have to throw down. and you get Keanu Reeves, because Keanu Reeves has been in
Shakespeare.
That's right. You know, and get people like that, and you get like Paris Hilton. I mean, just people who are so bad, but really convince them, and then bill it as a comedy, and never work in the industry again. Yeah. Are you excited for Seven Psychopaths?
I am. I really want to see it.
Yeah. I don't know much about it.
I wish they would let us see it.
They didn't screen it for us. Neither of us have been to any film festivals lately, which they kind of showed it at those. But I'm going to say it gets a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to
us. I'm afraid so.
So
it's how it works.
It's been a busy week for movies. There's also like Atlas Shrugged Part 2, which I'm kind of curious to see because the first one was so boring.
That's what I heard.
Regardless of your political bent, Atlas Shrugged Part 1 was one of the most boring movies I have ever seen in the history of my life.
In the history of your life, even.
Well, even like when I was reincarnated. You know, I'm sure wow. Like I was like some old guy, you know, watching who's the guy from Hugo George Malaise.
Right.
I'm watching like from here the moon, Trip to the Moon. I'm like, well, that's pretty good. But it's way more exciting than Atlas Shrugged, which comes out in 100 years.
Okay, well, good to know.
Okay. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr, and we're going to talk a little bit about box office right now.
Okay.
So, last weekend, it was a huge... Can I do the pun? Can I do the crappy box office pun?
Go ahead.
Liam Neeson has taken the box office.
Wah, wah.
He did not make $50 million with it, though. It made $49.5 million, which is... phenomenal.
Close enough.
That's like twice what Taken 1 made on its first weekend.
That is pretty remarkable.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's enormous. And then Hotel Transylvania held very well at $27 million. Then Pitch Perfect came up and almost made $15 million.
Which is impressive.
Second weekend.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. Go check it out. That's a funny movie.
It is a good movie.
Then Looper made $12 million and just barely squeaked ahead of Frankenweenie at 11.4, which was that did not do very well.
Not so much.
But here's the thing. Let's put it in perspective. The movie cost less than $40 million to make. And even though it made less than Paranorman, which is a better movie. They're very much cut from the same cloth.
Right.
Paranorman ended up making at least close to $40 million in theaters. I think Frankenweenie's going to have a good run through October. I think it's going to continue to do well, and
it'll be steady.
I mean, I think it'll end the box office in America with $30 or so million, and then you throw on the international,
right.
it's gonna break even. At least it's not gonna be like Alice in Wonderland,
right? That's what I was just gonna say.
Where it makes $1 billion,
$500 billion.
So to put that in perspective, 1,000 more people or no 100 more people saw 100 times more people saw Alice in Wonderland than saw Frankenweenie at this point.
Right.
Which I kind of liked Alice in Wonderland, but not that
much. Yeah, I didn't love it.
So, anyways, what do you think is going to win this weekend?
Oh, this is a tough one.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I would like to say Argo. I would like to say that people are going to go out and see it, but at the same time, Kevin James has a draw.
Here Comes the Boom, I think, is going to win.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but I think it will.
Well, and it's also...
It makes me sad for humanity.
You're really making a sweeping statement on that.
Yes.
You're more upset at the people who are going to go see Here Comes the Boom than the Iranians,
you know,
who kidnapped the Americans.
My niece would see it. And that's the thing. Those movies, like last year we went home for Christmas and we're like, well, you know, we can go to see a movie. And she's like, oh, yeah, I want to go see Jack and Jill. I'm like, oh, how about something else?
let's go see The Iron Lady instead.
Then she was like, what about Alvin and the Chipmunks? I'm like, you're killing me, kid.
You know, I think Kevin James is Here Comes the Boom. Here Comes the Boom is going to win. It is... The family movie's got a wider audience. Here's the problem with Argo. It's R-rated.
Yep.
You're not going to take kids to it. It's not family. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll have a longer playthrough because you're going to see this all the way through the season.
Yep.
But Here Comes the Boom. It's going to be much more immediate.
Yep.
And Sinister's, I think, going to do about what Insidious did. It's going to do well enough, but I don't see it making
Insidious was Goblins was kind of a limited release, though, wasn't it? It kind of slowly came out, didn't it?
I can't remember. I know it had a, when it did wide, it did okay, but it's R-rated.
I saw it at a film festival.
Yeah.
So
R-rated horror is a little bit tough, even in October, and yep. It's a crowded horror themed month.
Right. Yep.
The kids' movies too.
Mm-hmm.
So that is those are our predictions. When we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs and Blu-rays. To Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We are talking about the DVDs. We've got the DVD roundup coming up. Yes. Yeehaw!
Woohoo!
Pull out your lassos and put on your cowboy hats. Get out the spurs and the chaps. Am I taking it too far?
A little bit.
Okay. Some of the DVDs that are coming out this week, the big one, my favorite, this is the top pick for me, is Prometheus, which I loved. This summer. It's one of my favorite movies this summer. Did you see it?
Yeah.
You didn't like it? By that?
It was okay. Eh. Yeah, it looked great, but the story was just a mess.
Really?
Yeah.
I felt it was very... It opened up more questions, but I liked that. And the reason I liked Prometheus was because it wasn't just another Alien movie.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like... And that's why when I finally saw it, I understood why Ridley Scott was saying it's not a direct prequel. Mm-hmm. Even though it is.
Right.
But it's not an Alien movie.
Right.
That's the difference.
You know how we talk about those movies that, you know, after you see them, the next morning you're like, eh, and then the more you think about it, the more you hate it.
Okay.
That was Prometheus for me. Yeah. The more I thought about it, the angrier I got.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
so many things where I was like, but what about this? But what about this? But this didn't make sense. So it was one of those things. I read an article and I'm like, okay, now really, you should not need a degree in classics and philosophy to be able to understand a movie. And there was so much.
Maybe I just didn't understand it. Maybe I'm so stupid that I'm like, pretty movie. Which is that
it
awesome.
It was pretty. I'll give you that much. It was pretty.
I love Prometheus. So that's my big pick of the week. There's also E.T., the extraterrestrial. I'm sure you've heard of this movie.
I think I'm familiar with that one.
You know what's funny? I watched that this week. And I realized, you know, this is just a story about a wrinkly, old, bald traveler who develops an unnatural fixation with a young boy and then hides out naked in his room.
That makes it really creepy all of a sudden.
That is technically what E.T.'s about. But it's a very different kind of...
I don't think I'll ever be able to watch E.T. again. Thanks for that.
What's funny about E.T. is I remember I was like, 10 or 11 when I saw it. I was the perfect age for it. And I loved it when I saw it. Watching it now, 30 years later, I'm like, okay, it's still a good movie. It's still fun. It's a Spielberg classic. It does everything it needs to do. Although I do realize it's a little bit, I don't know. It's a little bit sappy and silly. And
it is. Yep.
It also has two of the actresses in it eventually pose for Playboy. I didn't know if you knew that. Drew Barrymore. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who he kisses when the frog thing, that's Erica Alaniak.
Well, there you go.
From Baywatch. And like 10 years later, she was a playmate.
And these are things that you would know.
These are things that I know. This is very
This is what you bring to the show.
Cinematic knowledge of breasts and fleshy things hanging from people.
Also vomit and people getting hit by buses.
Well,
these are your areas of expertise.
If there's a movie with vomit and breasts, naked breasts, and people getting hit by buses.
That sounds like your ideal movie.
To me, that would be like, that would be the Academy Award winning, that would be the top movie of the year. What movie is it? And the award goes to vomiting on breasts with people getting hit by buses.
Oh.
Thanks to Kevin Carr.
This is such a classy show.
It is. We raised the level. We're raising the bar. We're above Honey Boo Boo. Anyways, the other one that I wanted to point out was Werewolf, The Beast Among Us. Have you seen this one?
I haven't.
this is the...
I don't know how I missed that
one. This is like Ridley Scott said, it's not a direct Alien prequel. This is not a direct prequel to The Wolfman.
Okay.
When The Wolfman didn't do very well and kind of played soft, Universal rebooted it and decided to do sort of a prequel. Now it's unrelated. It's another werewolf movie, but it's way better than it has any business being.
Cause really?
Because it doesn't have teen angst. It doesn't have sparkly vampires. It has, honest to God, werewolves running around eating people. I appreciated that.
Okay.
No breasts, though. Although this woman, one of the werewolf hunters, does have this weird sort of Madonna pointy-breasted corset type thing, which I showed to my kids, and my kids are like, what is that? I'm like, I'll explain to you later. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kirsten Dreyer Kramer. We're talking about werewolves and breasts and vomit and buses and some DVDs and Blu-rays as well.
How many listeners do you think we just lost?
All of them.
Yeah.
Anyways, we also have The Great Mouse Detective, Disney's latest release from the vault.
Yes.
Which is about a mouse. It's a Sherlock Holmes.
About version. A mouse that's a detective?
Yes. And he's great.
Is he great?
Yes. But it's on Blu-ray. They just came out with this like two years ago, finally had its DVD release, like a re-release on DVD, which I find kind of odd that they rushed it out.
Yeah, I've still never seen it.
Yeah, it's cute. It sort of falls in that early 80s Black Cauldron, Fox and the Hound kind of era where before they got revitalized with The Little Mermaid.
So right around the Oliver and Company years?
Oliver and Company. That's such a good movie.
I love that one.
With Billy Joel.
Anything with Billy Joel in it, really.
Well, not anything.
Okay.
I'm sure he's done some stinkers.
I can't imagine.
There's also Monster High, Ghouls Rule, which is sort of a a monster version of Bratz. You know what Bratz are.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know, I will soon. Because you have a daughter. She's either going to be Disney Princess or Bratz, one or the other.
We're working on the princesses. Actually, we're working on Minnie Mouse right now.
Oh.
She has a room full of Minnies.
You want to know something that's really disturbing about Minnie Mouse?
No.
My parents would tell the story that on their honeymoon, they were getting amorous. And the TV was going on.
And your
in the
parents
background.
Are telling you this story?
I don't know why. And I
would have walked out of the room.
And apparently, there was a Minnie Mouse cartoon that showed up, and my dad kind of leans over to look, and my mom got really mad because in the middle of being amorous.
So your dad has a thing for Minnie Mouse.
She's there, and her skirt's going up, and you can see her pantaloons.
Oh, jeez.
Gosh, I suddenly turned into Julia Childs.
We just lost the rest of our listeners.
There they go.
The three remaining ones are gone.
That's right. For those who are listening, Mom and Dad, well, they're not listening now. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kirsten Dreyer Kramer, and we're talking about DVDs and Blu-rays.
I'm so sad.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Season 7 is out, which is way more offensive than anything I've said on this show.
Really?
Do you watch the Sunny show?
No. That's really? One that I'd really like to watch.
It's so good.
That's what I've heard.
It's so offensive, and it's sort of like Seinfeld on crack. Where Seinfeld was like, they're all mean.
Mm-hmm.
They had no redeeming value.
Yeah.
These people have even less.
Nice.
And it's just offensive to be offensive. But it's very funny.
So it's like a bunch of film critics.
Another way more interesting than us. There's also The League. Season 3, do you watch The League? Probably not.
Nope.
That's one. It's about a fantasy football team.
Yeah, this is definitely my kind of show.
But here's the thing. I hate football. I hate fantasy football. It's done by the Duplass. Mark Duplass is
on. Oh, right. Yeah.
And like Paul Schrader, I think. I forget his name. But there's other people involved in it it's an oddly sardonic, like Nick Kroll's in it.
Okay.
And they have Kate Alston, I think, is the woman who's involved. It is as offensive and inappropriate as It's Always Sunny.
So again, you know, your kind of show.
It's great. It's on Netflix Instant. You can get the whole series. It's fantastic. And then Bones Season 7. Do you watch Bones? You watch Bones, don't you?
I don't.
Oh my God.
How do you keep picking all these shows that I never watch?
You seem like a Bones person.
I watch TV. I swear I do.
Yeah.
But you always keep talking about the shows that I never watch.
Bones is good. Bones is a cool show. It's It's been on for 7 years. They've got great chemistry, David Boreanaz and Emily Deschanel.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see them do a crossover with Bones and New Girl.
I was just going to say that.
Because they're sisters.
Right.
And they're on the same network, and they're produced by the same company.
There you go.
That would have been awesome.
It could happen.
Make it happen, Fox. I know you're listening. You're the only ones left. Anyways, did you have anything else you wanted to highlight? Some other DVDs or Blu-rays?
No, I think that's it for this week.
And the stinker of the week.
Yes.
This is my pick. I don't know if you agree with me.
Oh, I'm with you.
It's a Rock of Ages.
You know, over the weekend, last week, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were over.
Yeah.
And I had that sitting out, and they're like, oh, we didn't see this. Let's watch it. I'm like, oh.
And you said, well, you can watch it because I hate you both.
And they made me watch it, and they fell asleep.
Oh, I would have turned it off.
And I watched it again. And, you know, one time was bad enough.
It's a bad movie.
And shame it just, it was terrible.
Yeah. Now, what I hated about Rock of Ages is it's supposed to be edgy and cool, but it reminds me of like listening to rock music being played for parents of kids in college because they don't want to hear the anything risque mm-hmm. or sexual or drug oriented. So this movie they literally have a scene where people have sex completely clothed.
Oh,
I don't know how it happens, but they do.
But it was good for both of them.
Yeah, and apparently they're all ashamed about it. I'm like, well, that's more stuff happens in a strip club, for crying out loud. It's a terrible movie.
No, not much happens in the strip club here either.
No, not now. Not after they passed that law. So, anyways, review wrap-up. Argo, I said it rocked.
Rocks.
And Here Comes the Boom, I said kind of rocks.
Sucks.
Okay. Seven Psychopaths gets a preemptive suck. And Sinister, I said rocks. Next week, we're going to be talking about Alex Cross, Paranormal Activity 4. In the sessions, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer. See y'all later.
Fat Guys at the Movies.